coverage of the historic events. Right now, on the floor of the convention, a tribute to fallen law enforcement officers. Dallas Sheriff Lupe Valdez is now speaking.
As I handed the server my credit card, he smiled and said that at least four tables had offered to pay for our meal. My girlfriend and I both teared up. There wasn't a single person in that restaurant that I personally knew. The people of Dallas that even know that even though our men and women in uniform are hurting, we never stop doing the job. Please help me, in honor of all of American fallen officers, with a moment of silence.
That was a voice from the floor, and Stronger Together, to tribute to fallen law enforcement officers. And we heard a bit of remarks from Dallas Sheriff Lupe Valdez. This is Margaret Prescott. I'm here in Philadelphia with Saskia Muhammad, and this is Pacifica Radio's live broadcast of the last night of the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. And Hillary Clinton will be speaking a little bit later on in the evening, as will her daughter, Chelsea Clinton. She'll be introducing her mother. And I'll have to say that the Code Pink protesters are continuing. They just went up the escalator with a Free Palestine banner, and they are attracting quite a bit of attention here. We are going to be returning to the floor, but first we want to go to an interview done by a member of our team, Jay Winter Nightwolf, and he is interviewing Representative Raul Grijalva from Arizona. Let's go to that right now.
I'm Jay Winter Nightwolf here at the Democratic National Convention 2016 in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and one of my favorite people is sitting right across from me, Congressman Raul Grijalva.
Thank you very much. Good to see you again.
You too, brother. So, what's it looking like for you?
Well, you know, it's we're coming to tomorrow, the end of a convention. I thought that four of the speeches were critical to how we come out of here. The first being Michelle's, the second being my friend Bernie, and how he dealt with the reality that we have here. The next one is the president. And then after that, to close out, Secretary Clinton. I think those four discussions with the American people, discussion with a resurgent and very strong progressive arm of the Democratic Party, is going to say a lot about unity and how we come out of this convention. Looking forward, I was very, very proud of my association and my work with Bernie. I thought his speech, a very difficult concession speech, if I may add, but handled with the same vigor about issues and class and strength. In you know, he endorsed in a very direct way Hillary Clinton, and you know, that's.
There was certainly no mistake about that.
Yeah, you know, those of us that are in. You know, it's always been an interesting mix to try to mix the progressive politics, left politics, with electoral politics. It's not the easiest fit. It's a high wire act, as I read, where you keep to those ideals and values, and with a dose of pragmatism. I thought on both those, I thought Bernie handled it with a lot of dignity.
You know, in your district, there are a lot of Native people, and they have a lot of issues. For instance, the environmental issues with Oak Flats, the water that's been poisoned and turned yellow, and the Ananias River from Colorado coming down through the southern part of the West. What would you say to President Clinton? Hillary Clinton,
that, you know, the belief that Native peoples and Native nations and Indian country in general is a passive electorate that just watches things go by and is somewhat self-satisfied with wherever they're at is not true. It's a stereotype. Second of all, that gaming is not the panacea cure-all, and to use that as an excuse not to fully meet our trust responsibility to Native Indian country is a mistake. But I think that the issue of sovereignty is the key issue, that it is evolving. The definition that once was is no longer. And so as Indian country and Native people and Native nations are redefining what sovereignty means, what government-to-government relationship means, and the emphasis on the laws that were reparation laws, cultural resource protection, and sacred sites. Mm-hmm. All now are part and parcel of how we define sovereignty, because the respect for tradition, religion, spiritual values, history doesn't stop at the boundary of a reservation. It's extensive. And I think that that's the definition that's going on. Very proud of Apache Nation with regard to Oak Flats. Mm-hmm. Very proud of the opposition and support for banning permanently uranium mining around the Grand Canyon. Very proud of Otham Nation and the Yaqui Nation and others resisting a mining operation in southern Arizona that it's, all it brings is consequences. And credit where credit is due. I thought when the nation stood up to the XL pipeline and did it in an organized and very powerful way, I think that began the demise of that as something politically you could dance around. You had to be a yes or no. And
there was no middle ground.
There's never been a middle ground on those issues. And I think Indian country is helping define those issues for us right now. And I think that's very important. What would I tell Secretary Clinton, our nominee? I would say that the level, that window dressing is not enough. It's content. It's how you deal with issues. It's the people that you place in appointments to deal with things like the BIA, Interior, and how you enforce and protect the adjacent issues from the Antiquity Act to sacred sites, because the definition has changed. And, you know, somebody said, there's a book I just finished reading about the extinction, and, you know, the word genocide is appropriate as well,
Native people.
Native people all over the country. And then this book was in particular about California and the disappearance of whole peoples. That part of the reparation has to be, you can't restore and bring back what's already eliminated, unfortunately. And I think that part of reparations is fully dealing with the needs in Indian country without using casino gaming as the excuse not to fully bring the resources to bear.
What would you say to your constituents in your district about this election?
That it's a seminal election, and that my generation used the word fascist. I don't know it's not used enough anymore.
Yes, it is.
But we have a specter of fascism in with Trump, a specter that says it's us versus them. That doesn't respect the history of how this nation got where it's at. And I'm not just talking about immigrants. I'm talking about a variety of issues, including Native peoples. And so how do we, as constituents, defend our communities? How do we defend our families and defend the future? You defend it in this particular election by using the privilege and the opportunity to vote against this guy. And in voting for against him, implicit and explicit, you're helping elect Hillary Clinton. And I think this election, other people might, other pundits don't think so, is going to be an extremely close election. Mm-hmm. And the division in this country is stark. And The margin of victory is going to lie in constituencies that in the past have been taken for granted, whether that's Native people voting, Latinos voting, people of color voting, young people voting, the progressive activist community voting. That's the difference. And so I understand how some people, I understand and respect that some people won't cross the line to support Hillary Clinton. As I told my my friends that are delegates for Bernie all the way through this process, that's a prerogative that you have as a free person. Use it. I mean, that's your choice. I, for one, feel this threat is real, and I would be less than responsive to the constituencies and to my own history not to do whatever I can to defeat this guy, and in the process provide a margin that will make this administration of Clinton's that much more accountable.
Well, Congressman Margaret Prescott here, Pacifica Radio, part of the national DNC coverage team. I know that you have been clearly a strong supporter of Bernie Sanders. We're getting reports, one of, Nina Turner, of course.
Yeah.
There's some issues around Nina Turner that happened. There was a press conference a bit earlier. And, she's been critical of the DNC. And there are reports that the DNC have tried to silence her. There's that on the one hand. We're also getting reports that tonight is going to be an interesting night because a lot of Bernie supporters are very upset about the choice of VP of Tim Kaine. And there are reports of disruption that will happen inside the convention this evening. And I'm wondering your comments, because some of the Bernie supporters are saying we don't really have to listen to what Bernie is saying. We are going to continue protesting, and it's causing an issue with the unity that the Democrats are trying to build in this convention.
Yeah, it is causing an issue. I don't negate that. I'm glad that Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigned, asked to resign. I think the staff around her responsible for those emails need to be out of there as well, and that it offers an opportunity to reform an infrastructure, a political infrastructure, the DNC, that has been kind of static and not accepting of different points of view and different movements for quite a while. So, but in terms of Nina, I thought she was a soldier all the way through for Bernie.
What about the way she was treated by the DNC? Any comments on that?
You catch me at a disadvantage. I don't know what that treatment was.
Right.
But if she was being denied the right to speak or being silenced on those issues, then that's not right.
Yeah, what about Tim Kaine? Your comments on Tim Kaine?
I think that's Hillary's choice. I would have preferred a more progressive person, someone that's not that married to the TPP and that trade agreement and the whole globalization blindness. So I would have preferred somebody. That's her call. I think the top of the ticket is what counts, and that's what I'm concentrating on.
Congressman Grijalva, I want to thank you.
My pleasure.
I'm honored to have you and to see you again. And it's always good to see your eyes, sir. We'll talk again.
Thank you very much.
All righty. This is Margaret Prescott here with Askia Mohammed.
This is KBOO Portland, also K220HR Hood River, K282BH Philomath, and KBOO.FM. It's now 5:58. We're listening to Pacifica Radio's continuing coverage of the Democratic National Convention, and we'll be covering it until 9 o'clock tonight.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of One Flaming Arrow Intertribal Film Festival 2016, bringing Native American and Indigenous independent film to Portland, Oregon. By
some to serve hate, fear, racism, and greed. We need to heed the voice of the scriptures. We need to listen to the ancient chorus in which deep calls unto deep.
All right, we are going to take a very, very short break so stations can identify themselves. We'll do a quick return to the Reverend Barber of the Moral Mondays Movement.
A few huge corporations now dominate the media landscape in America. As ownership gets more and more concentrated, fewer and fewer independent sources of information have survived in the marketplace. And those few significant alternatives that do survive, such as PBS and NPR, are under growing financial and political pressure to reduce critical news content and to shift their focus in a mainstream direction, which means being more attentive to establishment views than to the bleak realities of powerlessness that shape the lives of ordinary people.
You are listening to live coverage of the Democratic National Convention from Pacifica Radio Network. Community Radio brings you the whole story from inside the Philadelphia Convention Hall to the streets outside where citizens like you come to be heard. If you like this kind of coverage, please support your local community radio station. In a moment, we will return to live Pacifica coverage of the Democratic National Convention with hosts Margaret Prescott and Askia Muhammad.
Someone sitting in the room right now, making up a song about how the world's gone crazy, and no one seems to speak for me. Where can I tune into? Who hears music like I do?
We're back on Pacifica Radio's live coverage of the Democratic National Convention. We go right back to the floor so you can hear the Reverend William Barber.
And push for a revival of the heart of our democracy. When we fight